Hi there and good day. This is Naimish Modi for CKMS Radio 102.7 in Waterloo. It's great to be with you today. This week, I spoke to business owners in the region of Waterloo about how they've dealt with COVID-19. Queen Street Yoga adapted and offered online classes and has rebranded to the Branches amid the pandemic. I spoke to Lena Miller-Cressman, owner and director of the Branches. Additionally, I spoke to Chantal Villeneuve, owner of Bon Appétit Bakery. Villeneuve had to close her storefront in fall 2020. She's planning to reopen a new location very soon in Driftwood Plaza in Kitchener. I spoke to her about how she managed her bakery business amid the pandemic. I first asked Lena Miller-Cressman how it has been like being a business owner during a pandemic.
It's taken a lot of energy and innovation. A lot of times, I've been in this business for a long time. I became the owner of Queen Street Yoga in 2012, taking over from the previous owner. And a lot of times this past year and a half, I've felt like a brand new business owner, like because of how much I'm having to learn and adapt. It's kind of felt like the word pivot has been used so many times about other businesses, and I definitely relate to that we've had to adapt and change what we're doing and then changed again so many times. And so it's been tiring, but also I've found a sort of freedom in it to be more creative, and I'm less afraid of making mistakes or failing than I used to be. I feel more at ease just trying things out and seeing how they go, and I'm not as attached to the results as I used to be, because you can always blame it on the pandemic, I guess.
Right, and that just builds into my next question. How have you adapted to the on and off restrictions over the last year, and has there been a bit of frustration specifically with this lockdown?
So we opened up last summer, and then we started with outdoor classes, and then when we were permitted to, we began doing some indoor classes, but we kept some outdoors going until the weather was too cool, just because a lot of people preferred that and felt safer that way. And then we were open until Christmas Day, and then by that point, we knew that we would be moving in the winter, and so we didn't open after the second wave. We were already doing renovations in our new space, and we had moved out of our other space, and so we just stayed online only and didn't move back to being in person. And honestly, that was such a great decision. I'm glad we didn't scramble and try to make a space work, because it was such a short time that everything was even permitted to open. So we kind of avoided that and just stayed online. And I might have considered doing that even if we had had the space to open, just because a lot of my instructors were feeling nervous about the intensity of the second wave and not really feeling ready yet to be in person anyways. So it kind of all worked out for us, but I know it was really disheartening for other businesses for sure. So our timing kind of worked out a little different than other businesses.
Right. Can you tell me a little bit about the online program and sort of how that works? Like, is there weekly classes or?
Yeah, so we began offering virtual classes basically the week after the initial lockdown, March 2020, and we took our regular schedule that we had been offering in person, and we transitioned it almost all to be live stream. And we did have to like narrow it down a little bit, but basically now at this point in the pandemic, we're offering about 12 live stream classes a week, so a couple a day. And then we also have built a on-demand subscription service. And so we have a lot of members that participate in those classes, which are pre-recorded videos and recordings of our live stream classes. So we have shorter practices that are, if you only have 20 minutes in the middle of your workday. And then we have our whole library of recorded classes there. So when people have a favorite class, they can go back and take it again that way.
Right. So where did you originally, where were you? Obviously, you were located on Queen Street, right? Where did you move to now?
Yeah, so we moved from 44 Queen Street at the end of January, and we've moved to the Central Frederick neighborhood. So we're basically at the corner of Frederick Street and Samuel Street, and we moved to an old home there that used to be a duplex, and we're changing it into a yoga studio on one side of it, and it also has a residential portion. And so myself and my relatively new business partner Leslie, we together with our partners were able to make that move, and Leslie is going to be living there with her partner. So it's kind of a neat situation and a creative solution to our problem of commercial rents being really unaffordable for us at this stage in the game. And yeah, so we're excited to get settled in that new neighborhood, but it's still really close to downtown.
Right, and will the business be ready to reopen when in person is permitted? And do you have any idea, I guess, what your plans are for when that is able to happen?
Yeah, so we're kind of lucking out. It looks like things are going to line up pretty well for us. We have been working hard the last month to get our outdoor space ready, and we're going to be offering outdoor classes initially. We have a huge back deck where we can fit 10 students comfortably. So we'll have that opening up whenever stage one starts in Ontario, hopefully in the next week or two. And then we'll carry that on throughout the summer, and hopefully by the end of the summer, or like end of August, September, early September, we'll have our indoor spaces ready to go from the renovations. And so then we'll start indoor classes as well. If Ontario has gone into the stage three, is when gyms and fitness studios and yoga studios are allowed to have indoor training and classes. So we're hoping that we won't be far behind that with our renos finishing up.
Right, and what safety protocols does do you plan to implement for outside and for inside?
For outside, we'll be following the requirements to have people spaced out with their mats 3 meters apart. So it's a really generous amount of space, especially when you're outside and there's lots of natural ventilation. And then we're also going to require people to have masks when they're coming and going to their spots in case there's a moment when they aren't 3 meters apart. And then once they arrive in their spot in the class, then they can choose whether they want to keep a mask on or not. And then we have some yoga props available, but we're only using things that we can easily sanitize between classes, and so everything gets sprayed down with alcohol between every person that uses it.
Right, and I don't know if other businesses are doing this. Is there any plan for like vaccine proof? Is that something you're looking at, or?
I am curious about that. We are not going to require that for the summer, obviously, because so many people are still getting their vaccines, like myself included. I've only been able to get one so far.
Right.
And then in the fall, I think we'll just follow whatever mandates are encouraged or permitted at that point. I think there'll need to be some guidance on that. So I'll be looking for whatever the government and public health guides on that issue.
Right, and I did see today on social media. So I was looking back on the website as well as some of the other stuff. And I know you had offered 10 free sessions for frontline healthcare workers. So what motivated you to do that?
Well, I think our hearts just really felt pulled to do something to contribute and to show our appreciation. We're offering yoga out of the safety of our homes, and we knew that we that was a privilege to be able to be working from home. And so we wanted to give back to healthcare workers and also any frontline workers, grocery store clerks, and anybody who didn't have the choice to stay home to work. And we had a recognition early on of how challenging this time would be for people to have time and space and energy for self-care and for mental health care. And so we believe that yoga can support those endeavors. And so we wanted to give back in that way.
Right. And just switching gears a little bit, I did read about the name change and rebranding. So now you're becoming the Ranches. Can you tell me a little bit about that? And why did you think it was the right time for a rebranding?
Well, the most obvious part is that we weren't on Queen Street anymore.
Right.
And that name, we had been Queen Street Yoga for 16 years. And it was a name that to us felt quite neutral. Like it didn't say a lot about who we were and what our values are. And so we felt like it was a good opportunity since we are no longer on Queen Street, and it would be confusing to keep that name in some ways. But it also felt like a time when we wanted to get more clear and be more public about our values. And those values include wanting to use our business and our platform to do community activism and to do outreach and to broaden who's included in yoga classes and in community. And so we wanted to take the opportunity to change our name to something that reflected those values more. And we see the Branches as kind of giving an inclusive image and also kind of nodding to the various branches of yoga, which in North America, there's a lot of recognition and understanding of yoga being kind of movement and fitness. But in our practice, there's a lot of other aspects that are important to us, such as meditation and the mental and spiritual aspects of the practice. And so we wanted a name that nods to that and honors those roots of yoga as well.
Do you think it'll sort of provide a little bit of like a fresh start post-COVID?
Well, I think that all the changes combined will mm-hmm. feel like a fresh start after COVID, the new location and the new name. And just we really use this time where there were so many changes to happen to just kind of take advantage of the moment and seize the opportunity where we were like, well, if one thing's changing, then it makes sense to change these other five things too. And so we kind of dove in and used it all as an opportunity to redefine and reinvent our business.
Right. And how excited are you just personally to be able to see people again in person? And it feels like we're on the way there with the vaccine roll going pretty well. And so just how does it feel for you to be, I guess, on the cusp of seeing people in person again?
Oh, I'm so excited to lead classes with real people in front of me again. Especially as the pandemic's worn on, there's definitely been like fatigue from folks to engage online. So early on, people would like stick around and chat before and after class a little bit more, but now people are kind of just tired of being on Zoom. So it's not a lot of interaction, and I just really miss the connections that happen much more organically in person. And so I'm so looking forward to seeing people move together and for those spontaneous interactions that happen when you're in person. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and I definitely think there's a bit of Zoom fatigue for everyone, where it's just becoming pretty exhausting. Everyone's a little bit, I guess, more excited to see people in person. It's not on a 2D on a screen there. So definitely with
for
you.
Sure.
Definitely with you there.
Yeah, and it's just so hard to like be spontaneous on Zoom. You know,
very
like
hard, yeah.
There's connections that are just so much easier to make when you're in person.
Right. Is there anything else you'd like to add that you want our listeners to know or?
Well, I will just say that I'm really grateful to the KW community and to our community in particular. We feel really fortunate to have been a longstanding and established business when the pandemic started, and a lot of folks that had been with us for years have stayed with us throughout the pandemic, and we're really grateful to everyone who stuck around and kept moving and practicing with us, and just grateful that we're still here and that we've survived to kind of see the other side of this. I didn't know what it would be like going into it or in the middle of it. There is a lot of fears, but we've been really grateful for the support that's taken us through this.
This is Naimish Modi, and you're listening to CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7. I just spoke to Lena Miller-Cressman, owner and director of The Branches. Now I will speak to Chantal Villeneuve, owner of Bon Appetit Bakery. How's it been running Bon Appetit through the pandemic? I know that you closed the original storefront back in fall. How's that been?
Hard. Not gonna lie. It's been very, very different. So obviously since like the pandemic started, obviously we pivoted a few different times. And then back in October 31st, we closed our retail storefront. And since then it's been hard. We did find a new location, which was wonderful. And we've been obviously under construction and we're almost ready to open. So I'm very excited to finally open and have the doors open and customers come in and business hopefully to get back to normal. But it's been a struggle. I had to lay off all my staff, and I've been working with one other person, doing a little bit here and there, a few orders here and there. Over the time being, we rented a commercial kitchen just to make some orders to get us by throughout the transition, but I am ready to get open.
yeah,
I'm so
that's,
ready.
That's great
to be back in the
sure,
store.
Yeah. So how did it work? I know you had an online store and you said a kitchen. So how did it work when you didn't have the storefront? Like how would you do deliveries or?
Yeah. So I put it upon myself to be the wonderful delivery driver and I delivered every single order. So I learned how to create a website. I use Shopify, which is wonderful. Very user friendly. So we have a website and people were able to go online, look at pictures and photos and whatnot, place an order, choose their date they wanted for delivery. We would go to the off-site kitchen. My baker and myself would create the orders, and then I would go deliver. So it was a juggle and a pivot, and we made it work. I had to make it work, so which was nice. It was good that we had that option. But we just kept going. Like it wasn't, I couldn't financially just completely stop because obviously I have a mortgage to pay for and my employee who also had a mortgage to pay for and was relying on me. So we just made things work. But customers did appreciate and did like the website. So I got a lot of good feedback from that. It was just easy for them to use. And our turnaround time changed as time progressed because I was trying to figure things out, but it worked out. I was happy that we had that. So,
right. And in terms of bringing back or opening up the storefront, are you going to be bringing back staff or how is that going to work?
Yeah. So I actually have a meeting with two of my staff who were previously with us to have a conversation with them to see where they're at and if they're still wanting to come back. And if they do, obviously they'll come back. We'll see how the schedule will go, but they will come back on board, which is exciting. So we are bringing back the two of the girls, and then obviously I'm hoping for the best and that we're busy enough that they can bring on more staff that can help run the store and get things back to where they were in 2019.
Yeah, I think we're all hoping for that.
Yeah, I would love for, oh my God, it was, yeah, we've been hit pretty hard, but the plan and the hope is to get us hopefully back to that part. I do find that people have been very helpful and intentional on supporting local. So we do have a lot of our customers who have been very loyal and continue to support us, and they spread the word too, which is wonderful. So I'm hoping once I feel like our customer base, they're so excited that we're opening back up, that I'm hoping that we're going to get back to normal. We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully. I think maybe with in-person stuff starting, hopefully in the summer, then that'll maybe get the business going as well. Do you think that's one of the major reasons you had to shut down the storefront in the first place, because of that, or is it because of the provincial restrictions, or?
Reasons we shut down was, it's a long story, but it was mainly because pretty much our rent was going up like astronomical. Mm-hmm. It was just not something that I could manage. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty much forced to close. We had an opportunity to move into a much larger location. There was somebody who approached me with an opportunity that was amazing. But it just, at the time with COVID, it's just so unsure and uneasy. And as a business owner, you just don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. So I couldn't take that original offer. So we found this location that we're in now, and I'm really excited for it, and it's a perfect size for us, and it's almost done, and yeah, we're almost there. So
yeah, I was gonna ask, when are you planning to open the Driftwood location?
I hope soon. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting on the city for a few different things like licensing and occupancy. We have had all of our inspections. They're all complete. I'm just waiting on their final reports to send to the city and my response back from them. I'm hoping a week. I'm really trying to be optimistic. I'm hoping a week. But within the next 2 weeks, my staff will be coming back in, and we'll be opening our doors. So yes, hopefully great. Soon. Yeah.
Do you have anything different planned in terms of the menu for the summer, or is there anything specialty? Yeah.
Yeah. So I am working on trying to get a soft serve ice cream machine. So if we have not, I am very new to soft serve ice cream. So beforehand at the old location, we had dip and scoop, which was wonderful. But I just find soft serve will be more fun and more versatile. We're wanting to make like really fun desserts with our bars and squares that we make. So that's something that's new and exciting. Obviously we're bringing in Bain & Coffee, so we'll have like iced coffee for the summer, just cakes on hand, and a bunch of new different desserts. I'm hoping I can share more once we open, but yeah, we're trying to change every brand in. We're trying to change up our desserts and make some new, fun, exciting things. So I'm excited.
Yeah. How excited are you just personally to be able to go back into there and see a lot more people, I'm assuming, all the time?
Like, I will cry. Yeah. I will literally cry. I'm not going to lie. I've cried so many times already. Yeah. I have. The minute just the construction itself was very hard because of the pandemic. We had two lockdowns, mm-hmm. and trying to do construction through that was just, it's very, very mm-hmm. financially stressful and whatever. But the minute I have the door, I will be crying all day. Mm-hmm. I will be so emotional. Just to see my customers, it's incredible. I've made so many good connections with so many customers over the years that we were over at Highview. So just to be able to see their faces again and just to be open and have the energy of people being excited and seeing our desserts. It's one thing when they go online and they order it and I deliver it COVID style. So I knock on the door and I walk away. So I don't really see them. Mm-hmm. But it's different when they come into the store and they're in awe and they're just excited to try certain desserts. It's like it's an experience. So I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Yeah. How much of it was a learning experience for you building? Like, I looked at the website and you've done a really good job. So how much of a learning experience was that for you to
do? Oh my
that?
God, I'm yeah. still learning. I say this, I'm not a very tech savvy person. Obviously I'll do my research and I'll try and I'll learn. I'll always give the effort. We were with WordPress beforehand and I found it wasn't user-friendly for myself. So once the pandemic hit, I immediately switched to Shopify, and Shopify is wonderful, very user-friendly. The themes that I have and everything that I can use, I have an app on my phone, I can use it on my laptop or my tablet. It's wonderful. So I'm still learning, and it's always a learning curve, but trying to make sure like the delivery
postal codes are improperly, our inventory is properly set. Just make sure everything's organized and proper for the customers when they go onto the website is really important. But I feel like I've done a good job. I'm proud of myself. Mm-hmm. But I'm still learning. There's so many things I want to still do with the website. So we'll see where it goes. But yeah.
All right. Perfect. Thanks, Chantel. I think that's all I have in terms of questions. I'm looking forward to definitely coming get some treats for sure. So.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Today, I spoke to Chantel Villeneuve, owner of Bon Appetit Bakery, and Lena Miller-Christman, owner and director of The Branches Yoga, about how they've adapted to COVID. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative grant program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news. And other stories commissioned under the Local Journalism Initiative at canada-info.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.